This is Common Sense Compliance Podcast Series from EFG Companies. Each month, we break through the legalese surrounding compliance to deliver actionable information in an easy-to-understand language for immediate use in your efforts to maintain profitable compliance. I'm your host, Steve Ronell, Vice President of Compliance at EFG Companies. And at this time, I'd like to introduce to you our guest for today's podcast, Mr. Dan Hinnick. Dan is a Regional Finance Director with Group One Automotive. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Thank you, Dan. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Can you provide us a little bit of background with your role with Group One Automotive?
I sure can, Steve. Group One is the fourth largest dealership group in the country. We are publicly traded, Fortune 500, and at any given point in time, I've worked with dealerships in the Gulf and Atlantic Coast markets and up in the Northeast. And my job is to help maximize profitability. More importantly, though, a large part of my role is ensuring our F&I sales practices are ethical, that they're being followed, and that they're within compliance with company and industry standards.
Okay. And can you give me an example of how you support dealerships in maintaining compliant profitability?
You know, that's a big question because we do so much. But what you really need to understand is the culture of compliance at Group One and how every dealership is held accountable, how I'm held accountable for following our standards. First and foremost is before any F&I manager, whether they are experienced in something from the outside or an internal promotion, before they get any computer access or can talk to any customer, they have to do a formal 8-hour F&I training schedule.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that's a great way to ensure that everybody's starting off doing things the right way from day one.
Yeah, it is. There's kind of a joke. The way that came about is because our top executives got tired of hearing the new guy excuse, and out of that 8 hours, there's about 2.5 hours of compliance training.
That's great, Dan. I like that a lot.
Additionally, every general manager in the company is expected to do 5 deal audits a week, and those have to be finance deals, and we encourage them to do deals that were highly profitable deals as well. So they do 5 every week, and they turn those in.
Every general manager in every store is going to do an audit of 5 deals every week?
Yeah, that is the expectation, and those are summarized, those who do it and those who don't. It's summarized every week and sent out market by market so that way everybody sees who's doing them and who's not doing them.
Well, that's a great, you know, starting at the top leadership for compliance in your stores. I understand what you mean by some of the culture aspects of it. What else are you guys doing?
Well, also regional finance director is expected to do deal audits when they go into the dealership, so we look at them as well. A lot of times the general managers like it when we come in because if we do the 5 with them that week, then they're done for the week. So, you know, we kind of work together on that, helping them out do their job. And then the goal is that every dealership gets a formal audit by our Group One internal auditing team every year as well.
Okay, so you've got an internal auditing team. What happens if the audit comes back and you got some subpar results there?
Well, overall, the dealership is graded in several different areas on the audit, so you could be a little subpar in one area, but overall, if the report comes back at average or below, first and foremost, we do a debrief call, and that debrief call is with the executive management that is responsible for those dealerships, so it would usually be the vice president of operations, the market director, the general manager, and then myself. And you know, the way we've changed things a little bit, it used to be just us on the call with the general manager, but now we encourage the general managers to have their whole variable operations management team on that as well, so that way they can see how serious it is.
Well, that's a great way to communicate everything to everybody all at once, make sure you're on the same page, and also, as you said, make sure that everybody understands it's an important part of it. I like that, too. That's great. Any others?
Then what they have to do after the debrief call is they get a copy of the report, and general manager, and usually I'll help them as well, we come up with an action plan, like what type of training we're going to do in the dealership or any corrective processes or any resources we have to commit to handle each one of the areas where the dealership scored below standard.
Okay. Now, Dan, if you're having these audit teams coming in and auditing the dealerships, is there some tension between these auditing teams and your dealership personnel?
You know, you would think that there used to be, and everybody still gets a little nervous about audits. You know, it's just natural. But from a corporate standpoint, we've really kind of come together, and you know, they help us out because they spot trends that are going on. Like when there's certain things that are happening out in the world of compliance that are not only compliance and legal stuff, but you know, affect profitability.
Well, can you give me an example of how the teams are working together and how it benefits each other?
Yeah, recently we had a meeting. Last time we were in corporate headquarters, we had a meeting with the auditors and with people from some banks, and there's just a lot of scams going on with lenders and pre-approval letters and coming into the dealership and customers going online and filling these out and then coming in and taking delivery of a vehicle, and we turned out it's not the person that we thought they were, and everybody's a victim at that point. So a lot of times our auditors can help us out and see where that type of stuff is happening, or they can say where we might be vulnerable to something like that because of what we're doing or not doing in the dealership.
Well, that's a great example of everybody working together, not only to protect the dealership's profitability, but you know, your whole compliance and your customers as well. Another issue many dealerships are facing with is the rise of online shopping is working with customers who are out of state. What has Group One implemented to tackle this problem of contracts being done outside the dealership walls?
Well, I mean, it really like starts at the beginning. I mean, part of our normal process is we want the F&I managers to really examine the driver's license and examine the credit report and make sure that the credit report matches up with the driver's license as far as like age of the customer and how long they've been in the credit bureau. And then the next thing that we do is if we have an out-of-state deal and we've never done business with that customer, nobody in our dealership knows them, we use a company that is a notary company, and we will send them all the paperwork, and then they go to meet the customer, and the first thing they do is they get a fingerprint from the customer, and they notarize all the copies, and what they found out, and they're the biggest in the industry serving a lot of dealerships, is that the minute they pull that fingerprint pad out, if there's any issues, the customer usually gets up and leaves. So it's really not even a customer. It's a crook trying to pull something over on her. So good preventive medicine.
Yeah, that's a great way of ensuring you're dealing with the right persons when you're outside of the dealership walls. Let me ask Dan one more thing. If you were discussing compliance with a dealer outside of your Group One Automotive, what would be your biggest piece of advice to that dealer?
Steve, the reason it works in our company is because everybody knows it's important for the top guy right on down. So if the dealer's not committed to it and the dealer's not setting that example that it's important, then it's not going to work anyway. So I would say the first and foremost thing is the dealer principal has to show that it's important to him and he's committed to it.
I would totally agree, Dan. It's a great tip. And my final tip is going to be piggybacking off what you were just talking about a minute ago. If you do any business outside your dealership walls where contracts are being signed, I'd say definitely look into utilizing a third party to verify the ID, similar to the notary example that Dan shared with us here today. So that's our show. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please rate us in Google Play or iTunes Store, and be sure to subscribe to hear more Common Sense Compliance. For more information on these topics and more, visit EFGIntelligence.com.
An EFG production.